Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
It is always great to welcome on and say hello to our good friend, Tim Fitzgerald, Go Power Cat, covering K-State, Big 12 insiders as well, joining us on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. As always, make sure that you are subscribed to the channel if you're a Big 12 or college football or college hoops fan. We got a lot of great content coming your way. We'll talk Big 12. We'll talk K-State. We'll do it all here with Tim Fitzgerald. All right, Tim, let's just look back on the season that was for the Big 12. We know how it played out. Texas Tech, of course, really dominates this conference. Is Texas Tech's domination good for this league, or do you want to go back to where there was a time of more parity?
I think it's great for the league. And here's why. I've been saying this since Oklahoma and Texas left, most notably for me, Oklahoma, because I think a big reason for the Big 12's greatness in, you know, not recent years as Oklahoma fell off, but during that run was you had a pace setter.
Yes.
You knew what it took to win the conference. Now, for many, it was too much, but at least you knew that was out there. And times have changed. Now, the definition of what it takes to maybe compete is in dollars instead of just pure talent. But I think it's good. I think it's good. It's going to force a reckoning by a lot of programs that they really need to push the envelope with NIL. You may not be a comfortable ask, but you got to see if those people are out there. And I think they've set up forth a brilliant plan on how to compete. Go get isn't the lines such, built up.
Isn't it such a screw job, though, with the way that college football media covers Texas Tech? All they talk about is, you know, whatever it is, the $40 million on the roster. It's like, okay, I just saw Indiana from that 60 Minutes piece apparently spent $60 million on football, the roster, whatever. But with Tech, they're just always talking, well, they, you know, bought a team. So are all these teams at the top level of the college football playoff. They're all buying them. But for some reason, the focus with Tech is always on the money, Tim.
I know that. I mean, I've had someone tell me Tech's not even in the top 10.
Wow.
I mean, it's those numbers you're hearing are getting common. $60 million a year on talent acquisition just for football.
Yeah.
Dude, that's just, what are we even doing?
I know.
This is insane. And here's the problem. This won't stop until it breaks.
Yep.
The gas pedal is stuck on the floor, and we're going to keep heading this direction and picking up speed.
It's so true.
Next year's going to be 80.
Yep.
And it's not like it's progressing at a reasonable clip.
No.
I mean, it's exponentially getting bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where a lot of power level schools now can't do this. They just can't. And the ones that can are most notably noted in the SEC and Big Ten. I wish they'd say that Tech is making a big play outside of the realm of the biggest media rights money grabbers, because that's really what it is.
Yes.
They're not relying on the contract from the conference for media rights. They got donors. So mm-hmm. I think there's just jealousy.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have the media rights. Why can you compete with us? This isn't fair to us. We're the elite two conferences. And that comes through in the media that covers those conferences, whether it's ESPN or the nonsense Joel Klatt's been spitting out.
What's Joel Klatt? What's your beef with Joel Klatt?
Oh, he just destroyed the NCAA tournament as ridiculous because people like upsets, like the underdogs. Joel, football and basketball are different sports, buddy. And yeah. I know you don't like James Madison and Tulane being in there, you're an elitist, which I never thought of you as. But Joel, they earned it under the rules that the conference has set into place. These rules weren't foisted upon everyone. This is the rules of their choosing. And now they don't like them.
You know, isn't there something to be said, though, for the fact that you're right, football's not basketball. I mean, the days of the Cinderella, even in basketball, are going by the wayside. We saw a lot of Power Four teams in the Sweet 16 last year because the Cinderellas just can't compete, it seems like, in the NIL world. But, you know, football, it is so much harder to have that Davidson, right? That Loyola team that makes a Final Four run. That does football have it right with the system in place?
Well, I'm going to say this. I think the basketball tournament's beautiful as it is.
I agree.
We're trying to expand it. In fact, I want it to be 64. Why are we playing in Dayton? Why are we
doing that? I know.
Let's just go to 64. But with that said, I mean, I think where we're headed in football is a clear realization that if you don't have even what the Big 12 and ACC have in media rights, you're not going to be able to compete at this level.
Yeah.
You're not. You might be able to beat some teams from those conferences, but you're not going to compete.
Correct.
This isn't a one-off. You're beating someone. This is four games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the general consensus is that champions should be in the conference or in the playoff bracket. But at what point do you decide why we should only be putting people in the playoff bracket that can win the damn thing?
Yes.
And nobody believes Tulane or James Madison is going to win the thing, let alone just one game, because now they have to go on the road.
Yeah.
So it's just it's. I'm now confident there's no system people agree on.
Wow.
Everyone has such a hard stance on whatever their agenda is. It's just going to be a mess.
Well, speaking of agendas, I mean, you and I have not spoken about this, but the screw job that BYU took in this whole thing. I mean, everyone made it about Notre Dame versus Miami, and that was a no-brainer. Miami had the head-to-head. But the fact that BYU, with the stronger strength of schedule, the better strength of record, you know, better top 25 record, is getting put behind Notre Dame and getting punished for making the Big 12 championship game and having these two losses to Tech. I don't know how the Big 12, I mean, I've had a lot of fans say, hey, Yormark should have done more. What is he going to do? I mean, I want him to do more, but what's he going to do? And I don't know how the Big 12 recovers from this to a place where they can ever realistically get two teams into the playoff, because if not this year, then when?
I don't have a whole lot of criticisms for Brett Yormark, but this is one. Mm-hmm. He has been going along to get along too much with the playoff.
With ESPN too.
Yeah. He just never said anything bad about it. And look, I know he's looking to that negotiation.
Yes.
But if he doesn't realize at this point that ESPN isn't a good partner, they don't have any interest in your success or, you know, the teams in this conference, the schools more notably. They just want the inventory. And if it's not you, they'll go get the new pack, or they'll go get the Mountain West or something. They'll just, I don't know. I mean, they're not on the side of the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
They have one side they're on. They're on the SEC side.
Yeah.
And Fox is on the Big 10 side. And I think the more he can do with CBS and the Turner group, I am all in.
Well, I thought TNT did a nice job this year with the Big 12 games, right? Yeah. I mean, and I think that that's the future, but I do think he's walking this fine line of wanting to keep ESPN close, maybe for leverage or negotiations or whatever it is. They're also the current TV partner, so he's got to be a little bit careful there. But what do you think that's about?
I don't know. I just think he believes ESPN's too big to tackle.
Hmm.
And it is. But you still need to say something a little more forceful than he did.
Yeah.
If ESPN, if they don't understand that you're doing your job just as they're doing their job, then you really don't want to be partners with him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's unwilling to do what I am willing to do. Is the flat out state, this is because of the Latter-day Saints Church. This is it. That's it. There's no reasonable argument against a two-loss power conference team not getting in the bracket 2 years in a row, other than what makes them unique. And I know from the history of conference expansion, the Big Ten wanted nothing to do with the Mormons. Texas wanted nothing to do with the Mormons. Look, I don't care about their religion. They are some of the best freaking fans in all of college football, and the playoff is less for not including a team that belongs in the bracket. They belonged before Notre Dame, and thus they belonged before Miami, and they belonged before Alabama, and yet they're on the outside.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
So you think it's an LDS thing even more than it's just a Big 12 thing?
I think it is an LDS thing that is a handy, convenient reason to leave a Big 12 team out. I don't think they're opposed to two. They're opposed to two with the second one being BYU. Hmm. I truly believe that.
Because, you know, the other problem the Big 12 has, and I think that's why every Big 12 fan's got to root for Texas Tech to make a deep run here. Big 12 has one win in this playoff in you know, 11 years now, and it's the TCU win over Michigan, and then, of course, they got slaughtered against Georgia. But Oklahoma, all those years they got in, never won a game. They should have won that Georgia game in the Rose Bowl. They didn't. But the Big 12's gotta pile up some wins here. And if Tech makes a run, I think that would then make the committee say, maybe we got it wrong with BYU. Maybe this Tech team was the best team in the country, and these two losses we held over BYU's head. How about you?
I think you're right. I think it's, you know, the best thing for the Big 12 as a group to have Tech win three games.
Yeah.
Or at least two to be in the championship. Yeah. Don't get blown out, please. Don't do that again.
No.
I just wish their fans hadn't become insufferable so quickly. It's like, we know you're good. We're rooting for you. Can you let us root for you without hating you? I mean, you know.
Well, I'm going to defend them for a sec here, because listen, the tortilla thing was ridiculous. That was targeted. That was, you know, you talk about your mark. I think your mark's done a great job, but that was stupid from the Big 12.
Yep. It was. But yeah. No, there's other stuff out there. But I'm rooting for Tech. The conference needs this.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because they're going to play Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I'm already hearing there's no way Tech can beat Oregon. Pete, do these people not even bother to watch Big 12 football at all? I think that might be true.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't watch. I mean, they might have seen the Tech BYU game, and they'll come away being like, well, BYU's not that good, instead of being like, wow, Tech. I mean, this team, Jacob Rodriguez should have been a Heisman Trophy finalist. He had better stats than Manti Te'o when he was the runner-up at Notre Dame.
I agree. He was on my ballot.
I was going to say, I thought I saw him on your ballot, right?
He was number two, and I regret not putting him number one, even though I put the winner at number one.
That's fine. We'll let it slide. Tim Fitzgerald is here, Goat Power Cat, does a great job, of course. Also, Big 12 Insiders, find them on YouTube. All right, Tim, you're looking around the Big 12, and you're saying, hey, I gotta buy some stock right now around the Big 12 based on this past football season and what you would project into the future. Whose stock are you buying, my man?
I'm gonna buy Utah. Yeah. Okay. Even though the coaching change, because a new coach may push bigger into that NIL space. And look, I'll be honest, I'm more unfamiliar with Utah than a lot of Big 12 teams, but it strikes me as an institution that probably has some, they might have a Cody Campbell out there. It's kind of strike me that way, being from a bigger setting too. I think if Utah gets into the NIL space, along with BYU doing whatever they're doing to go attack, that's a pretty mighty group right there.
And well, Utah's got that private equity deal too.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that one yet. That makes no sense to me, Pete. How do you get $500 million and they want to be out in 5 to 7 years? Well, they want to be out with more than $500 million.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how that works, but good luck. And that might make a big difference and give them the push into the new era they need.
Yeah. All right. So if you're selling a stock then right now in the Big 12, who you just like, listen, I don't know if they've got the juice going forward. Who is it?
Iowa State.
Okay.
I didn't like that hire. I didn't like how it was almost predetermined as a reaction. Doesn't make sense to me. I'm not sure it makes sense to a lot of people that they were in contact during the season. It's just weird. The whole thing's weird. But yeah, I think I would be selling there. And I also think Cincinnati, they've gotten exposed 2 years in a row. I just don't think they have the right coach. I think the program's fine. Where they're at can be improved with the right coach, but I don't think they got the right dude right now.
Well, two things. Is there someone else you would have looked at for Iowa State or different places you would have looked?
Honestly, I didn't even have a chance to think about it.
Well,
they hired him so quick.
They did.
Yeah, I mean, there's some dudes out there I might have looked at, but
because Ott's apparently like this Rogers guy. I mean, I saw Pollard basically look to Ott's, and Ott's knows Rogers, and he said, that's your dude.
Okay, well, I hope it works.
Yeah.
I know this. Matt Campbell had become Iowa State football.
Yeah.
He had a special bond up there. And that's going to be tough to replicate for anyone new coming in. It's going to be a challenge. I'm still a little bit shocked he left, to be honest. I know the money was incredible. Penn State is Penn State, but still a little. And I'm disappointed he left because I thought we had a Bill Snyder type. And, you know, he had his opportunities, but he didn't take them.
I just think the climate made it as such where he was like, I've maxed out, right?
Yeah, I can't not take this job.
Yes.
I don't see an ability to progress forward in this NIL space at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If Colin Klein hadn't taken K-State and had a bond with K-State, other candidates might have thought the same thing about K-State as Iowa State.
We'll yeah, see. That's fair. Now, you mentioned Cincinnati. I agree with you on Satterfield. Second straight year, they start off great, and then they collapse down the stretch when they play the decent teams in the Big 12. But think about, their quarterback, Brendan Sorsby. He just hits the transfer portal this week. And I believe it was Satterfield who was like, yeah, I don't think we can afford to keep him. So is it a Satterfield issue, or are they just one of these teams that doesn't have the coin to basically pony up for the players to win?
That's a double whammy. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you got a bad coach and bad players, you're going to be bad.
Yeah.
That's the honest truth.
Yeah.
Some of these programs, you can't afford to keep players. And I thought it would happen this year, but I haven't seen it. Maybe it'll be next or the year after, where you're mid-roster. Guys that might be starting but not stars start getting offers where you might think they're, worth one number. But schools see a need for a backup. So he gives up a starting position to go to be a backup for two or three times the money because they have the money to spend on a backup.
Yeah.
That's where the real erosion is going to take place, when the roster gets decimated, not of the headliners, but decimated down to the bones. And this is going to happen to the power level institutions that fall too far behind in the NIL space.
Yeah. Well, let's touch on Kansas State, obviously. Colin Klein in. Chris Klieman out. The excitement, obviously, from the outside looking in is enormous at K-State, but I don't know if anybody would have predicted this a year or two ago. So what's the feel? What's the vibe? What's the sense? And is the money now going to be pouring in as well, which has been a big part of this conversation?
I'd like to say we wouldn't have thought of this like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, this came out. This was sudden, dramatic. Chris Klieman had told me point blank, but this was before the Utah game, where that incident happened with his post-game emotional state, that he would be back next year, and he planned on being back at least for next year. I thought next year would be the last, but something clicked. And I love it when a guy recognizes, or a gal, anyone, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm just done. It's time to leave and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to hang on because the money's great. Mm-mm. I'm going to worry about my family and myself and move on. And that's what Coach did. And more power to him. He had the little press conference thing and he got the hell out of town. And, you know, I hope whatever he's doing now is going to get him back on track as the person that he is, because I just think this system is going to overwhelm a lot of coaches that just simply don't want to mess with this crap.
You think he's done coaching at any level?
I hope not. I said this when he retired, and it's kind of corny and stupid. They've got a lot of money. I mean, they've got money. And yeah. Look, they're not spending in Manhattan, Kansas. I kind of hope he finds a small college like a Bethany or something. And his son played at Kansas Wesleyan and just go coach. They're not having NIL issues. They don't get their roster rated, by Power 4 teams. If he wants to coach, just go coach, man. You can even do it for free or do it for a dollar, which would help that athletic department tremendously.
Yeah.
I hope he does, because he's a brilliant football mind. There's just too much now. There's too much on head coaches' plates. That's why we're seeing general managers. But even with that, it all still has to come to the head coach at some point.
Yeah, it does.
It's completely overwhelming.
What is the biggest challenge facing Colin Klein that maybe isn't getting enough attention, or maybe Colin isn't even realizing or noticing yet?
Well, I think the one thing that still makes me feel queasy, and I feel really good about Colin being the head coach, and he is a brilliant football mind and a better human being. But I think he's shopping at some expensive stores for his coaching staff. Hmm. Stores that can up the price, so to speak. So if you want to get this guy to leave his Big Ten or SEC institution, if they really want him, they're going to keep him based on money. And I'm afraid that as it gets down, when he's finally trying to get things done, I think we're seeing a lull because those coaches are coaching. The playoffs start this weekend, or bowls are coming up. I think they're busy and they don't want to move right now. When all settles down with the games being played and A&M's eliminated, if these coaches decide, I'm going to stay, they just offer me a boatload of money, it's going to leave them in a precarious spot. But that's it. And I don't think that's true. I think most of the people he's hiring are they're personal hires. They're friends. There's people he's bonded with, whether it's at Kansas State or in the profession of coaching. Mm-hmm.
Love it. Tim Fitzgerald does an amazing job with Go Power Cat, Kansas State, of course, but also Big 12 Insiders. Find those guys on YouTube. Tim, thank you as always for the time, my man. There is going to be plenty to talk about as we get into hoop season, college football off season, and we are grateful for you joining us for a few minutes.
I'm not on the tech bandwagon, but I did buy a horse and a mask. I apologize.
Get that tortilla too. Get that tortilla. He is Tim Fitzgerald, does a great job. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the channel, whether it's on YouTube or on the podcast, and like the video as well. Helps us out tremendously. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day, and go Big 12.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.